Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This podcast is made possible by our supporters over on Patreon. If you'd like to support the show and get your own RSS feed with ad-free shows and extra episodes every month, then head over to patreon.com/nerdcaveretro. And we are back for another episode of the Nerd Cave Retro Show. My name is Jason Robbins.
And my name is Derek Diamond.
And sorry we're a day late. Happy Halloween, everybody. Something popped up for Derek work-related on Monday, so we had to push the show. We would have done it last night, but last night was Halloween. We can't do a show on Halloween. You got to enjoy Halloween. So we pushed it to tonight.
Yeah, and you know, I appreciate everyone's patience. Yeah. Work got pretty busy on Monday, so had to take care of a few things. But you know, it happens sometimes. But those that are longtime listeners remember that used to be a much more regular occurrence.
Yeah,
for me,
I remember those baseball seasons where Derek's like, "I'm not gonna be here from like July to September."
Yeah, I had to put in our Google Doc like this week I can do the show. This week I can't, then I can do the next week, and then I can't for like a month.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, it's going to happen. In the line of work that I'm in, stuff's going to pop up. So it is what it is, but it doesn't happen nearly as frequently as it used to. So it is what it is, but we're here doing our show. So how was your Halloween?
It was good. The thing that's really sucked about it is I got candy just in case we got trick-or-treaters. Don't usually get trick-or-treaters here in the old apartment complex, but you never know. So I went and bought some, and I really wanted to just binge out on candy last night, but I couldn't because I had a huge hole in my tooth as of last night because I had a filling pop out of my tooth last week, and I've gone like 5 days with this huge hole in my mouth, which I got fixed this morning. And I'm a little sore in the jaw this afternoon.
That's got to be the worst, just having the candy there. Yeah. And it's almost like calling out to you, and you're just like, nope, can't do it.
So I got a big bowl of fun-sized Snickers waiting on me downstairs.
I used to love the fun-sized candy bars whenever I was a kid. Mm-hmm. Those were like the only times a year that I would have them. And just, you know, you'd get your... If you had like your bag or your bucket, and you'd get like Snickers, Twix,
yeah.
Kit Kats, man.
Did you ever go to any neighborhoods where they actually gave out like the full size candy bars? I never got to experience like somebody giving out full size candy bars when I was a kid.
It was not always, that I can remember. No,
it was always just the fun size stuff.
Yeah, that was pretty much it for me. And it's funny you mentioned that because we got candy too. But we didn't have any trick-or-treat. And we have kids in our neighborhood.
Yeah. Like, don't
but they didn't come by.
Don't go to the Diamond House. Stay away.
No, so
Joey in the chat room says there's nothing fun about thy tiny size.
Getting started early, I see, Joey. But no, I've lived in this house for 6 years and I have not had one trick-or-treater.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I even ran it by my the apartment manager. The other day I was like, why don't we do something where, like, you know, we all decorate our patios and have trick-or-treaters, you know, welcome trick-or-treaters in, and whoever has the best decorated patio gets like $100 off their rent. She's like, they'll never do that. You're like, you might get a $25 gift card to Target or something. It's like, hey, I'll take a $25 gift card to Target.
Yeah. That's actually a really good idea because, you know, a lot of towns do like trick or treat in the street where they'll have like, they'll close down a road and they'll have like tables set up with candy, or, you know, they might have their car set up and, you know, they open up the back of their car and it's like all decorated and everything.
Yeah.
That's a good idea. I've never thought of that.
Yeah. And the way this apartment complex is set up, like all the buildings have like this inner kind of, I don't want to say like picnic here, but like this little courtyard area in between the buildings. There's like two or three different courtyards in between the sets of buildings here. So like that would be the perfect spot to like come in, you know, all the kids go in the little areas there, trick or treat around all the buildings. And then, you know, we'll call it a night. I think that'd be fun.
You should trademark that.
I should.
Trademark, copyright, Jason Robbins, 2023. Yeah.
But how was your Halloween?
It was good. We pretty much just sat around and, you know, watched movies and had pizza for dinner and had a nice relaxing night here at the house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we
don't really go out much anymore.
What's your go-to watch every Halloween? Every Halloween I got to watch The Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown.
Hocus Pocus has become one. Ever since Samantha and I have been together, the original Halloween is one. Mm-hmm. And I don't do it every year, but I try to watch Nightmare on Elm Street, the original one.
Yeah.
But I did watch that this year. So those are a couple of my go-tos.
Yeah, we watched The Corpse Bride last night. And so it was a good night. It was a good Halloween. And I'm kind of glad for October to be over with, because October was kind of... Man, it was trying this year. It had a lot go wrong this year.
Well, hopefully November will be better for you.
Fingers crossed. But we got some news to get to this evening. You ready to jump into it?
Sure.
Let's do it. And some of tonight's stories were submitted to us by Mr. Armez Jackson. And if you have a story you'd like us to cover, send them to nerdcaveretro@gmail.com. And this first story is from GameRant.com. Nintendo patents dual-screen gaming device that can be split in half. Let's see. Nintendo recently filed a patent for a dual-screen detachable device. And with the Switch 2 being Nintendo's worst-kept secret, every patent and leak that emerges raises an eyebrow from fans who are eager to get a first look at the next generation. Reports of the Switch's successor appearing at Gamescom behind closed doors have since fueled discussion and speculation online as to what the next Nintendo console might be and when it might be released. Let's see. The recent Nintendo patent looks an awful lot like a 3DS, but the device can be split in half. The two separate halves can communicate with each other wirelessly, allowing two gamers to play together on the same device. While connected, the two halves play together like a DS or 3DS. Interestingly enough, there is also a touchscreen on the side of the console, which allows gamers to interact with the handheld even when it's closed. Now, of all the leaks that we've seen so far, this is the one I would bet is the actual closest to the truth of what the Switch 2 is going to be.
And not saying it is the truth, but I could see this being a reality. It seems like, you know, a natural evolution for the Switch. They already have a similar, you know, mainframe in mind with the 3DS and the DS before it. Mm-hmm. I think it personally makes sense to do that.
Yeah.
And if they call it the Switch 2, then they can market it as it has two screens.
Two screens, two people can play it. I think it's an awesome idea. I hope this is actually what it is.
I'm just ready for Nintendo to come out and say this is it.
We
know it's coming.
I think we're going to get I think we're going to get the reveal early 2024 around spring. They're going to announce it, and then maybe even a 2024 Christmas release, maybe. What do you think? Is that too early?
I mean, if it's far enough along in development, then I don't think so. It'd be cool if they announced it on the, let's see, so it would be the 7-year anniversary
mm-hmm.
of the Switch.
Yeah, it came out when
it launched.
Was it
2017?
2017, yeah. So it's about time. It's definitely time for another console.
It would be cool if they announced the successor on the anniversary of the Switch being released.
Yeah.
I think that'd be cool. They should hire me for marketing.
Yeah, why not? They should hire both of us.
I know, exactly. let's see. From timeextension.com, PC 88 classics Thexter and Relics land on Nintendo Switch, with more classics on the way. In the past, the Tokyo-based publisher D4 Enterprise has reissued a number of classic games for old Japanese computers like the MSX, PC-88, and PC-98 on Windows via the Project Egg service. However, now it has started a new initiative called Egg Console to bring as many of those titles as possible over to Switch. And the great news is they also seem to be releasing on Western storefronts too. Thexter was initially published in 1985 and is the work of developer Game Arts. And there's a trailer that you can watch here in the article. It's an action-adventure game where players take control of a robot that can transform into a fighter ship in order to navigate obstacles in the environment and battle enemies. And then Relics was released in 1986, where you take control of a wandering spirit that can possess defeated enemies to unlock various new attacks and powers. There are multiple routes and endings to find, as well as music from the Japanese pop band Crystal King. So this is pretty cool. Both games cost £5.39. Is that pounds? Signed for pounds?
Yeah, I think so.
And are available to buy now from the Nintendo Switch eShop. More Project Egg releases are expected in the future, and we'll do our best to cover them as they arrive. Of these two, Relics sounds the most interesting to me because you take control of, defeated enemies. I think that's a really cool idea. I feel like I've heard of that in a more modern game.
Yeah.
But I can't remember what it is from.
I just love the fact that these companies are putting out these old, like, I never heard of these and would probably never have heard of these if it wasn't for consoles like the Switch and, Steam, things like that. So please keep putting all these old games back out. They have to be preserved. And available. So take note, Nintendo. Start putting old stuff back out.
We should get these and review them.
I'm okay with that. I will do that.
Yeah.
I'm down.
Yeah, it sounds like a lot of fun.
This next story is from NintendoLife.com. I guess this is pronounced Homage. Is that the name of Homage's range of Tecmo Bowl apparel. Looks like a touchdown for retro sports fans. American retailer of vintage-inspired graphic t-shirts, Homage, has announced that it has teamed up with Koei Tecmo for a range of Tecmo Bowl apparel, the first item of which is available on the Homage website now. Launching with the Tecmo Bowl American flag logo t-shirt, it's $32. The collection will be released in a series of waves over the coming months. The first of these kicks off on 2nd of November with the collection of tees that see all 32 NFL teams represented by their helmet logo in the classic pixel art Tecmo Bowl fashion. The next wave will launch on the 16th, and both the team and player ranges will retail for $38. You can find all of those who make up the initial Tecmo Bowl player collection. On the 16th, it says 10 NFL legends. Who you might remember playing in the 89 NES Classic being treated to a Homage player shirt. And you can get Jerry Rice, Barry Sanders, John Elway, Jim Kelly, Randall Cunningham, Christian Okoye, Thurman Thomas, Derek Thomas, Clay Matthews, and Howie Long. Where's Bo? Where's Bo on here? You can't do it without Bo.
Maybe he wanted too much money.
No Bo Jackson, man. That's crazy.
But Barry Sanders was the other cheat code, though.
Yeah, he was. These look cool. I mean, if you look at them, you can't tell they're pixel art at first until you really look at it, and you're like, oh, yeah, that is pixel art.
I was glad you threw this in here because I love the Homage website. They make some amazing t-shirts.
Yeah, I'd never heard of it till now.
And they're a little pricey, but if you're going to get like a quality shirt like that, you know, they're not, gone are the days where they're like 10 or 15 bucks. Like, you're going to pay at least 25.
Yeah.
And they do have sales too. So their shirts are normally 32, but sometimes you can get them for 20 or 25. So it's just a matter of checking out the website, but they've got a lot of cool stuff. And yeah, this is a great addition.
I'm going to have to get a Saints shirt. And I love just the Tecmo Bowl shirt. It's got that, you know, red, white, and blue flag print in the words Tecmo Bowl. And it just, oh God, that is like instant nostalgia.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I'll have to look at all of these and just, you know, see what the designs are like. But yeah, Homage makes great stuff.
Yeah, I'll have to check them out.
And our last story, also from NintendoLife.com, Coleco's failed negotiations with Nintendo apparently resulted in the birth of the Famicom. Time Extension recently got the chance to speak to Coleco exec Bert Reiner about the history of the American toy and console maker. According to his account, there was a time when Nintendo almost ended up buying and marketing the 1982 video game system ColecoVision for Japan, but negotiations fell through. The former Coleco vice president of product development claims Nintendo wanted to do its own deal, and eventually it got to the point where its company president, Hiroshi Yamauchi, said Nintendo would develop its own console. This exchange was followed by the launch of the Famicom in 1983. Talk about a what-if scenario.
Like that
Marvel animated series, you know, where it's like, what if, you know, Peggy took the super soldier serum instead of Steve? What if Nintendo had bought ColecoVision? How different would video games be today?
I was just about to ask you, like, what would the world look like right now if Nintendo had gone with the ColecoVision instead of creating its own console? Because, look, nothing against the ColecoVision. Arguably, ColecoVision was much better than the Atari at the time, but it was somewhere in between, you know, the Atari and what the Nintendo could do. So if Nintendo never made its own console, I mean, would video gaming be the same today? I honestly don't think so.
And it's tough to say, like, exactly what the market would be like, because that's like its own podcast.
Yeah.
Like, what if this happened? But it is a very interesting thing to think about.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's sort of the same thing of like, what if the Nintendo PlayStation had actually happened? Would there even be a Sony PlayStation now? Would they have split at some point? I mean, there are so many just like what if scenarios when it comes to stuff like this, because Nintendo has had their, you know, fingers in everything going back this far. Like, I didn't even know about this. Like, what would have happened? I don't think the video game world would have been the same if they would have never made the Famicom or the Nintendo. Like, I don't think they could have. I mean, obviously we would have never gotten the NES, Super Nintendo. There would be no Nintendo, I don't think.
No, it's like if you're talking with a bunch of movie buffs and you ask the question, what if Star Wars was never made?
Yeah.
Like, how different would movies be?
Movies? I don't know. We wouldn't have we wouldn't have THX. We wouldn't have CGI. We wouldn't have Toy Story. We wouldn't have Howard the Duck.
That's where you draw the line, because we've got to have us some Howard the Duck. That would actually be a fun podcast to do. Like a what if this happened?
Yeah.
Because I'd love to go through and map out, like, okay, so this was 82.
Mm-hmm.
how different would video games be today?
And you know what else I was thinking? We should do a commentary track of Howard the Duck.
I'm okay with that.
Could you sit through that movie one more time to do a commentary track for it?
I mean, you and Wally will be there, so I can do anything.
I think we should. I think that would be fun.
If we could survive Super Mario Brothers and Double Dragon, we can survive Howard the Duck.
I don't think anything could be worse than Double Dragon. Like, as much as I think Super Mario Brothers is awful, Double Dragon was doubly awful.
Oh, Joey said it perfectly. Nintendo Vision.
Yeah. I'd play a Nintendo Vision.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, we would... Would they have eventually made the NES at some point? Or, you know, what? That's just crazy to think. Like, what would the world of video games the past 35 years look like if this would have happened?
That'd be crazy to map out.
Yeah. But before we go into this month in video game history, I want to tell you guys about our mobile game partner, Globe Glider. If you like action adventure platformers, and we know you do, Globe Glider is for you. Making a donation to the game using our partnership is quick and easy. Just simply hit the donate button and select Nerd Cave Retro as your referral partner to unlock sweet in-game prizes like an exclusive Nerd Cave Retro cape. So download Globe Glider now on the App Store or Google Play. And I've played a little bit of it, and I dig it. It's kind of like... It's kind of like an overhead shooter, kind of like 1942 or 43, something like that. And I haven't donated to it yet because I want to get the Nerd Cave Retro cape that's in the game.
Yeah, me too. I haven't had a chance to play it yet, but I'm now that things are starting to calm down work-wise, I'll get a chance to finally play it.
But
I'm excited.
Now it is time for this month in video game history. On October 18th of 1985, Duck Hunt is released for the NES in North America and made us all hate that stupid dog for the past 35 years.
Would you say the Duck Hunt dog is the original troll?
Yes. Absolutely.
If not the original troll, one of the original trolls. Oh, I hated that dog so much. Like... everyone else did.
Is there a kid alive? Is there a kid alive that didn't try to shoot that dog?
I don't think so. What's cool is that when they announced the Duck Hunt dog as a character in Super Smash Brothers, I don't know if you've seen it, but if you haven't, I'll send it to you. The reveal trailer is so brilliant.
Really?
Where it has like someone's playing Duck Hunt. And the dog, you know, pops out and does his laugh. And the background kind of goes black. And then he just kind of looks around. And then 8-bit versions of Mario, Link, Bowser, Mega Man, and others show up and corner him. And he's like, uh-oh. It's great.
I'm going to have to send me a link to that. I want to see that.
Yeah, you'll love it. On October 23rd of 1988, Nintendo releases Super Mario Bros. 3 for the Famicom in Japan, which includes the first appearance of the Koopa Kids.
It's always crazy how back then games always released like a year or two early in Japan before they reached America.
I read this the other day. There's a rumor that Nintendo is going to do a remake of Super Mario Bros. 3.
I'm there.
And I would play it. Like, why not?
Yeah, why not?
I mean, I'm curious as to how they would do it. Like, would it essentially be Mario Brothers 3, but with, like, the new Super Mario Brothers graphics? Would they change the gameplay a little bit? Who knows? But, I mean, I'd be intrigued, for sure.
Absolutely. I would love to play a remake of Super Mario Brothers 3. Let's see. October 15th of 1990, LucasArts releases The Secret of Monkey Island. This is something that I desperately want to play so I can review. I've heard nothing but good stuff about the Monkey Island games, and I've never played any of them.
Yeah, I haven't either, and I feel like it's something that, you know, comes up like around this time of year or, you know, once or twice throughout the year, but Yeah, I'd be curious to play this as well.
Mm-hmm.
October 19th of 1999, Pokemon Yellow Special Pikachu Edition is released for the Game Boy in North America. Still to this day, my favorite Pokemon game of all time.
Really?
This was like the first extra of the... It's like Pokemon was always released in pairs. Like you had Red and Blue, and then the next generation you had Gold and Silver, where they each had like specific Pokemon that you could catch, and then you could trade them through the old link cable.
Oh, wow.
If you... I know, right? So Yellow was essentially like Red and Blue, but it was modeled more after the anime. So you'd get like Pikachu as your starter, and he would follow you around, because in the show he didn't like being in his Pokeball. So he would follow Ash around, and you'd run into, you know, characters from the show that weren't in Red and Blue.
I mean, who the wants to stay in a changed. Pokeball? It seems very cramped in there.
I don't know if they've ever said like what the Pokemon see when they're inside a Pokeball.
Is it
That'd
like
be
a,
really cool.
Is it like a genie lamp where, like, if you go inside, it's like the TARDIS. Like, it's, like, huge in there and, like, got lots of room to spread out and just do whatever? Or is it just...
It's bigger on the inside.
Yeah, it's bigger on the inside. I want to know. These are the things about Pokemon I want to know.
I gots to know.
So, who's the Pokemon... who's our resident Pokemon expert? It's got to be between Tyler or Brandon, I think. Maybe. I think.
I'll ask him in the chat after the show's over.
So whoever our resident expert is, send us an email on what the inside of a Pokeball is like, because I want to know.
That would also make for a great like short film idea.
Yeah.
The life of a Pokemon inside a Pokeball.
October 29th of 2002, Rockstar Games, wow, 2002, Rockstar Games releases Grand Theft Auto Vice City for the PlayStation 2, arguably one of the best Grand Theft Auto games, I think.
I think it's the best, personally. What's crazy is if this game was a person, it could legally drink now.
2000, if you would have asked me, Vice City came out in like 2008. Nine, somewhere around there.
Right.
Not 2002. No,
you want to know my favorite thing about Vice City was just driving around listening to the 80s music.
Yeah.
It was so, and they used A Flock of Seagulls, I Ran, in the marketing, and that introduced a whole generation of people to that song.
Oh, I know. That actually was one of the best parts of the game, is just flipping through the stations. And I actually just picked up almost brand new copy of San Andreas not too long ago at the Goodwill, but I'm always on the lookout for Vice City. I haven't come across one yet, but as soon as I do, I'm snatching it up.
No, I don't blame you at all. And last but not least, October 27th of 2003, I can't believe this game is 20, WWE SmackDown Here Comes the Pain is released for the PlayStation 2 in North America. This was where the controls in a wrestling game started to become a little more complex, where you'd have to hit like multiple buttons to pull off a move.
Mm-hmm.
Gone were the days of just like, oh, I'll hit, you know, left and the square button,
yeah,
and something will happen. You have to do a little more in that. Joey says on the PC version, you can play your own MP3s on a custom radio station.
Oh, that's cool.
Sick. That is sick.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
As soon as I get a copy of Vice City, I think we should go back and replay it, and let's do a dual review of it.
Hey, you don't have to twist my arm to do that.
That seems like a good,
I'd love it.
A good summertime playthrough kind of thing.
Kick off the summer with some Vice City.
Yeah, I dig
it. I'll break back out the Hawaiian shirt and the sunglasses for it.
Yeah, I'll go buy a paisley blue shirt with a white linen overcoat.
And you got to get the brimmed hat too.
Yeah, got to do that. Man, that makes me want to go watch Miami Vice. But before we go into the review tonight, Derek, you want to do our Patreon shout outs?
Absolutely. As always, we'd like to shout out our awesome patrons over at patreon.com/nerdcaveretro. We want to shout out James, aka Jimbo Jr. on Discord. Travis Martin, Raven, Danny House, Justin Nispel, John West, Daniel Salmon, Mr. B Res Coffee himself, Mike Eveland, Tyler Watson, Axeblade 07, Armez Jackson, Carlos Longoria, aka I Am the Rampage, Steph Sergeant Sketch, Gus and Penny, Matthew Salmon, Joey Image, and of course,
Mama Diamond
herself, Donna Diamond. Yeah. Thank you all so much for your continued contributions and keeping the lights on for us here at the Nerd Cave Retro Podcast. For as little as a dollar a month, you get early access to our fun commentary tracks. Like for Halloween, us two plus Wally and Joey got together and we watched the original Scream movie, which I had so much fun doing. It's one of my favorite horror films of all time. It was just a really, really fun time. One of my favorite commentary tracks we've done.
And if you've never really checked out our commentary tracks, just go check one out, because it's almost just like an extra episode of just us, you know, getting all nostalgic. It's basically all it is. It's a nostalgia fest, those commentary tracks.
That's what makes them so much fun.
Yeah, you don't even really need to watch the movie. I mean, you could just listen to us banter about it for, you know, and our experiences with those movies.
If we're doing a commentary track for a good movie,
yeah,
I'd say put the movie on and you can have it in the background while you listen to it.
Yeah.
If you just want to listen to us suffer, then you can check out like Double Dragon and Super Mario Brothers, but you don't have to worry about watching. But yeah, if you want to subscribe to our Patreon, head over to patreon.com/nerdcaveretro. And for new patrons, be sure to send us your social media info, whether it's Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram, so we can give you a proper shout out.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
And tonight, Derek is going to be talking about Spooky.
Yeah, so this this was my last Halloween-themed review for the spooky season of 2023, and we're going to be revisiting Splatterhouse, which is a beat-em-up arcade game developed and published by Namco in 1988. It was the first in a series of games released in home console and PC formats, which, of course, you know, later on there were Splatterhouse 2, 3, the remake, which I've heard is not good. I've never played it, and I probably won't, because like everybody says it's bad.
Yeah, I haven't either.
But so I played this on the TurboGrafx 16 Mini that, you know, we've had for a while now, that was gifted to us.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you reviewed this a while back, maybe even last year.
It was during the pandemic, I think. It was probably 2020, 2021.
Oh, wow, that long ago.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Wow.
Because I remember we got it around the beginning of the pandemic, and so I this was one of the first games I played on it, because this is one of those games that, and I think I talked about this when we first did this game, I remember seeing this game advertised everywhere, and I got to see some demo of it on some TurboGrafx-16s at like Toys R Us and things like that, but I never really got to play it until I got the Mini.
Yeah, and I knew of this game from back in the day, and you know, I remember the 2010 remake, but had never really played it, and it was one of those things that, like, I was looking for different horror themed games to review, and this popped up, and I knew you had already reviewed it, but I was like, you know what, we've been revisiting some games, so
this is like,
why not? I mean, it's
one of the quintessential, like, Halloween games to play, like this, Castlevania. I mean, this is like in the top five horror Halloween games.
Oh, absolutely. So for those that didn't hear the previous review, so Splatterhouse is an arcade style side-scrolling beat 'em up with some platform elements where you play as Rick, a parapsychology college major who is trapped inside West Mansion. He makes his way through the mansion, fighting off hordes of creatures in a vain attempt to save his girlfriend Jennifer from a grisly fate. So, gameplay-wise, it seemed like something that would be right up my alley. I love platforming games. It's still my favorite genre. And yeah, it does have elements of that, but it is definitely more of an arcade-style beat-em-up.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, you can jump and you can get to different platforms and whatnot, but when you jump, the controls are kind of sluggish. Like, mm-hmm. You can't really move that far, if at all. Like, you can move just enough. Like, if you're having to jump over an obstacle, you can jump just enough to get past it.
Yeah.
But don't think you're going to gain any extra ground from it.
No.
Because you're not.
This is sort of like the same. It feels a lot like Simon Belmont in Castlevania. Like, he's so lumbering and heavy. And just, it's like trying to play a tank.
And I would put this, like, slightly better. Just very slightly. Like, enough to notice, but still not the greatest. But I don't think it really deterred from the overall experience. Because there's a lot that I actually really liked about this game. Most notably, the graphics. I think this looks really good for a late 80s game, and especially like with the backgrounds, how you can see kind of the details. Like, if you're in the sewer, you can see the details in the brick. If you're outside, you can see like trees in the background, and you didn't see that very often. Like, you can look at like Mario Brothers 2 and it's a solid blue background.
Yeah.
Or same thing with Mario 3, where it's like that kind of tannish color. There was really no detail.
The detail in this game is crazy. That's one of the things that I notice most about this game, is just the level of detail, especially, like you said, even just the backgrounds. Like, this game just makes you feel gross with the detail in the backgrounds, like, just so slimy and just gross.
And speaking of gross, there's also the death animations.
Yeah.
And that they all have like their own specific type, like whether it's, you know, exploding into, you know, a pile of goo, some type of demon character puking something out. It's very specific, which again, you didn't see a lot of around that time, because a lot of character deaths would just kind of be the same. But it gave each, you know, like, I want to say, well, not boss, but like every enemy you would fight on screen, it felt like a very distinct individual enemy and not just like part of a group, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And doing some research on this game, because we've talked about around the time that, you know, this game came out, and even a little bit later into the Super Nintendo and Genesis era, there would be differences between like the US release or the Japanese release, you know, wherever the case may be. There are some differences in the US version. Most notably, the Rick character, in every version but the US, he is wearing a white mask.
Mm-hmm.
But you know who he looks a lot like?
Old Mr. Jason Voorhees himself.
So Namco didn't want to get sued, which I don't blame them for.
Mm-hmm.
So Rick has a red mask in the US version. There's also in the fourth stage, you could tell that it's supposed to be a church, but they removed a lot of the elements that make it look like a church.
Mm-hmm.
I guess they didn't want to paint religion in a bad way.
Well, they had to do that a lot back in the day, where if anything involving religion had to be, they took out of video games, the same way that they would take out like Nazi memorabilia from games in the European market.
Yeah, and I mean that does make sense. And even that the boss in that stage is an upside down cross,
mm-hmm.
in every region but the U.S. and the U.S. is just a giant floating head. Yeah, I get the changes. I think some of them are a little extreme, personally.
Well, you got to remember too, back at this time, like this game was already controversial. But can you imagine if they would have had, you know, all the religious imagery in it? The religious right would have lost their collective minds over a game like this.
True. It's just people don't look at it as, oh, this is a form of entertainment.
Yeah, well, video games were for kids, and, you know, that's, like, I don't know, the whole video games rot your brain, and, like, this was deep in the heart of satanic panic back in the day, so had to tread lightly.
But that being said, it didn't take away from the experience. Like, I get it, but it didn't make the experience worse.
Mm-hmm.
So I will give them that. There is one instance, and I can't remember, like, in between what stage it was, but there are, like, it's almost like a mini game where you have to survive in this room for a certain period of time, and you're in what looks like a, maybe like an office or something like that, and the whole room is shaking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you're having to, like, constantly jump up and down, and you have, like, a chair that comes to life and flies across the screen. I almost threw my controller at my monitor because I could not kill that thing. Because it's just, everything is just so, like, it was almost mm-hmm. sensory overload in a way.
I think I had the same problem during that part.
But, I mean, overall, you know, I came close to completing the game, and I know it's really short,
mm-hmm.
which, it being an arcade-style game, I get it. I mean, that's how those games are.
Yeah.
But if you're looking for something that, you know, you can beat in maybe like 30 minutes to an hour, and you like this type of game, I'd give it a shot. Is it perfect? No, but I enjoyed it quite a bit more than I was expecting to.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's just one of those games that, like, it's got the perfect horror atmosphere. And the music, and the pace of the game is a little bit slow sometimes, and the platforming can be a little frustrating at times, but that was just, you know, that's just at the time, like, you couldn't escape that. That was put in to make the game feel longer, because, like you said, this game is really short. I think if you took the time to play this and you really put your mind to it, I mean, you could probably finish this thing within an hour or two of playing it for the very first time. Like, it's not that difficult. I mean, it can be, but it's really not that hard.
It's one of those things that, you know, it's a very much a memory-based game. Like, even mm-hmm. if you die on a certain stage, and you also, there are also checkpoints through the game, which I thought was really nice, because a lot of the games from that era, if you die at any point, you go right back to the beginning of the stage. But there are checkpoints throughout this, which mm-hmm. which was really cool. There are some cool weapons that you can use. For the most part, you know, you just have your punches and kicks. The drop kick is way overpowered.
Yeah.
Because you can kill enemies in like one hit, whereas it takes like five punches
mm-hmm.
to kill like your most basic zombie or creature or whatever it is that you're fighting. And I throw a drop kick and I'm like, why don't I'm just going to do that.
Yeah.
it's like it was broken in a way, but you get things like you get a wrench that you can throw. You get like a giant, it's not quite like a bat. It's more like just a giant stick. You use that for the first time when you're in the sewer and these water monsters come up and start attacking you. That's really the best way to beat them.
Yeah.
Because you're moving so slow anyway, but when you're in the water, it's even slower. So if you don't have that stick, you're in for a long day. And of course, you know, you got your shotgun, because what monster-based thing doesn't have a shotgun?
And it only lasts a couple of blasts before it goes away, because it's, you know, overpowered.
I don't know if this was a glitch or if this was something that, you know, someone just figured out, but I was watching some gameplay, and this guy picked up a shotgun and came across another one, and then he kept dropping one and then picking up the other until he got to the boss character, and then just unloaded both shotguns and killed the boss.
Oh, that had to be a glitch.
Yeah. I'm like, man, why didn't I know that while I was playing it?
And I always wondered, why was this game exclusively for the TurboGrafx-16? It seems like this would have made, I mean, it probably wouldn't have put this on the NES, but this seems like it would have fit on, you know, the Super Nintendo. But I mean, there are other games that are just as gross on the Nintendo. I know Nintendo liked to be the family friendly console, but, you know, this would have done pretty well on the Super Nintendo. I know eventually, I think they put, what, Splatterhouse 2 and 3 on the Genesis, I think? I'd have to look
That's what I was going to say. I think had this come out in the early 90s, this would have been an excellent Genesis game.
Yeah, Splatterhouse 3 was released solely on the Genesis, and Splatterhouse 2 was... it was also for the Mega Drive / Genesis.
Okay.
So 2 and 3 didn't even come out on the TurboGrafx-16 because it was pretty much a failed console by then.
Makes you wonder why they didn't at least port this to the Genesis. I don't know. I think this would have made an excellent like launch game for the Genesis.
I think I still say that this game is aesthetically cool enough that they could do a remake of this game and modernize it a bit. Make it longer. Maybe smash all first three games together into one game and just remake the whole thing.
I think there'd be an audience for it. I mean, I'd definitely pick it up.
I mean, I would love to play an updated version of this with, you know, with updated graphics, faster gameplay, maybe some add some more cool weapons to the game, things like that. I think that would be cool. I think there'd be a market for that.
Joey says there's a Repro Trilogy version for Dreamcast.
Oh, okay.
I did not know that.
I didn't know that either.
It's interesting. Oh, it does say here that the game was included as part of the Namco Museum compilation for the Nintendo Switch.
Oh, no, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it said it was released on the Virtual Console in Europe in 2007, North America in 2007, Japan and Australia in 2007. The arcade version was released in 2009 on the Japanese Virtual Console.
And then in June of this year, the original arcade version was ported to the PS4 and Switch as part of the Arcade Archive series.
I might have to go get that, because I don't think I ever played the arcade version. I've only ever played the TurboGrafx-16 version.
I never really think of the Arcade Archives, even though I have the Super Mario Brothers one.
Yeah, I don't ever think about it either.
I have to look into that. But as far as the reception of this game goes, Game Machine listed Splatterhouse on their December 15th, 1988 issue as being the sixth most popular arcade game at the time. Computer and Video Games gave the arcade version a positive review and received positive reviews upon release with praise for its graphics, music, and general gameplay. It's also known for its graphic violence, which was inspired by classic 80s horror movies. The game did receive some criticism for its lack of variety and simplistic nature, but it was otherwise praised for being challenging. GameSpot gave it a 4.7 out of 10. This was the Virtual Console version. IGN gave it a 6.5. Nintendo Life gave it 8 out of 10 stars. And it's also available for the iPhone.
Oh, okay.
As well. Yeah. It says here iOS, wow, BlackBerry. Haven't heard that name in a while.
Wow.
Windows Mobile. So it's been available in a decent variety of places. I would say for me, I don't like that the game is so short, and yeah, the controls are kind of clunky, but it's to be expected. It's a great looking game. It plays well enough. I like that it's kind of ahead of its time as far as the look, the feel, the music. So I'd give it a solid 7.
Yeah, I think that's where I landed too. And if you're going to play this, I mean, there's so many places you can play it now, especially you can play it on the Switch. I mean, it's pretty much available anywhere. But if you're looking to get a copy of this, like if you have a TurboGrafx-16 or you're going to get looking for a TurboGrafx-16, this game is quite expensive to get on.
Oh, I bet.
Like eBay. I mean, this is like a $200 game at this point. So if you're going to play it, just go pick it up on the Switch or PS4 or Steam. I don't know if it's on Steam. It might be. But definitely,
I didn't check Steam.
It's definitely on the Arcade Archive, so you can go check that out and play it there.
Yeah, there's plenty of places that it's available to play. So I know we've just passed the spooky season, but you can play spooky games year-round.
Yeah.
So I definitely check it out.
And if you're a fan of 80s horror, this game is right up your alley. Like it's just slides right in there. I think Splatterhouse.
It made me think of Evil Dead 2.
I know it does. I think Splatterhouse would make a great animated series.
Oh, I think so too.
I'd watch it. But that's, I think that's it. That's going to bring us to the end of the episode. Sorry this didn't come out before Halloween, but we got a little busy, so sorry about that. And happy Halloween, everybody. And Derek, tell them about what we did on the Derek Diamond Experience this week.
Yes, so Jason and I got together with two friends of ours, Jeremy Branch and Chad Sanders, and we talked about John Carpenter movies for an hour. We had a fun roundtable discussion about, really the career, the legacy, just John Carpenter in general, movies like They Live, Halloween, Big Trouble in Little China, Escape from New York. If you're a John Carpenter fan, definitely check it out, because I had a lot of fun doing that episode.
It was informative too. I mean, being the John Carpenter super fan that I am, even I found out things I didn't know about John Carpenter, some John Carpenter movies that I had never even heard of or seen.
Yeah, same here. But if you want to check it out, you can head over to linktree.com/ddiamondpodcast. Everything's there, from social media information, podcast subscription, YouTube. And it's looking like this Monday I'll be doing top 5 movies from the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And there was a pretty juicy rumor that came out about the original Avengers returning.
Ooh.
That I've got some thoughts on. So I'll talk about that too.
And Chuck in the chat room says, In the Mouth of Madness, he directed. Good one. That's actually my favorite John Carpenter film is In the Mouth of Madness. I love that movie so much.
If us talking about the podcast doesn't inspire you, go check out the thumbnail I made for the episode.
It's awesome. I get to be a Snake Plissken, so thank you for that.
I just took the picture I normally use and threw a Michael Myers mask on.
I look so weird with hair, though. Like, I first saw it, and I was like, is that me? Is that not me? Is that me? Well, yeah, that's me.
I thought about putting you as Dr. Loomis.
Oh, that would have been awesome.
I couldn't find like a picture that would kind of match, though. So
yeah.
Maybe for the next one.
Yeah. And if you are into comedy, go check out my other podcast I do with Mr. Jacob Craig called Open Micers, where this week's episode, we talked with comedians J.P. Leonard and the always hilarious Mo Alexander. And let me tell you, if you're easily offended, do not go listen to this episode, because there was a few things I thought I was going to have to cut, but I was like, nope, I'm leaving it in for posterity. So go check out this episode at Open Micers on Twitter and Instagram.
I think you should refer to him as Open Micers legend, yeah. Mo Alexander.
He's given Wally a run for his money on how many times he's been on the show.
I know. I feel like I'm falling behind. I'm going to have to try and catch up.
Well, go check out this episode. I might have pulled something laughing so hard while we were recording that episode. I mean, it was... There were some moments in that episode where I'm like, oh my God, we're going to get canceled so hard right now.
Yeah, I haven't had a chance to listen to it yet, but I'm going to tomorrow. I can't wait to hear it.
There's one part in the episode. I want you to text me as soon as you get to it so I know where you're at. And I'm like, yep, okay. That's it. You'll know it when you hear it.
Okay.
But that's going to bring us to the end of the episode. Happy Halloween, everybody. Sorry we're a day late, but it is... What's today called? Dios de los Muertos, Day of the Dead. Is that,
yeah,
did I say it correctly?
Day of the Dead.
But yeah, today is the Day of the Dead, so we're still in the realm of Halloween, so we're good.
Yeah.
But anything else before we leave this evening?
I think that's it.
All right, well, we're walking out the door. If you want to email us at nerdcaveretro@gmail.com. Nerdcaveretro.com is our link tree that has been completely updated with everything you need, from social media to Patreon, audio feeds, like the YouTube. It takes you everywhere. Even our merch shop, which is ncrmerch.com. You can get t-shirts, hats, stickers, magnets, bags, mugs, wherever your nerdy heart desires. Follow us on social media at NerdCaveRetro, at JFunktastic, and at Derek_Diamond. And of course, leave a review wherever you listen to the show. And if you can't leave a review, leave us a 5-star wherever the podcast is available. So Derek, please tell them what it's all about.
Happy Halloween!
Happy Halloween!
Master Blaster runs Bartertown.
Monkey!
This podcast is a Zoo House LLC production.
Hey, Derek, have you heard the news?
What news?
We officially have our very own line of coffee at BrezCoffeeCo.com.
That's right. Nerd Cave Retro now has its very own medium roast coffee.
If you want to try it yourself, or even some of the other awesome flavors like Wizard's Potion, which is a butterscotch, caramel, and hazelnut flavored roast.
Or the Dragon's Breath Roast, which is a cinnamon dolce flavored roast.
They have tons of different flavors, and you can also just get a regular Colombian roast and add any flavor to it that you want. They even keep their seasonal roasts all year round.
If you need that boost to get you through those all-night gaming sessions, then head over to BrezCoffeeCo.com and use the promo code NCR for 10% off your order.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.